What's up, guys? It's Sholem Adedueña from Cobra Kai.
Jacob Bertrand, I play Hawk.
And you're...
See that one more time. Yeah.
What's up, guys? It's Sholem Adedueña, a.k.a. Miguel Diaz from Cobra Kai.
And I'm Jacob Bertrand, I play Hawk.
And you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one again, guys. Peace out, dude.
This is Luscious Lou, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate. If you love comics, you'll be into it. Listen to the Comic Syndicate. If movies make you contemplate, just science will accommodate. Twitter for communication, at Comic Syndicate 1. I was drowning in a sea of podcasts, and I found the one I need at long last. Book reviews, the news, and sex facts. It's more than anyone can ask for. Comic Syndicate Podcast. Ooh, the Comic Syndicate Podcast. Ooh, the Comic Syndicate Podcast. Yeah. The Comic Syndicate Podcast.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 348. I'm your host, Josiah Sapp, for The Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new week. Let's hit it like we normally do. What we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 248 was entitled, hashtag long or short. This one was recorded March 4th, 2019. Long or short, this week at For the Villain hits what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. We run through bullet points, brings back shoutouts. Wow, I didn't know I went so long without shoutouts. And finally, reels, roll some comic talk, comic news, R-rated aliens, animated series, another Walking Dead spinoff, Critters back with new series. Oh, fucking Critters, dude. I'm an 80s kid. Nobody knows what Critters are. But anyways, I spoke about that. Edge of Tomorrow sequel, MGM and Mattel developing Viewmaster movie. How do you guys feel about that? We hit The Sandlot TV show in development. Loved the movie The Sandlot. Chris Hemsworth Hulk Hogan bioepic film, which is now put on hold or has been scrubbed away because, look, we'll get there. Brian Michael Bendis still working on Marvel script for Fox, Disney, and Star Wars news, DC Extended Universe chat, and finally rock some comic reviews, Book of the Week, Marvel, Venom, number 10. Donny Cates was the writer, Ryan Stegman. I love these guys. Ryan Stegman was the artist, J.P. Mayer was the inker, Frank Martin is the colorist on this one. Heroes in Crisis, number 3. Tom King, another fucking sick writer. Lee Weeks was the writer, artist, and Clay Mann were the artists on this one. Tomo Mori was the colorist. Please subscribe, blah, 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 blah. Anywhere you can find us. All right, guys. I don't know how to fucking attack this show, so we're going to hit it, give you guys some bullet points, and my apologies. This week, there is going to be no usual suspects at all. No Twitter love shoutouts, nothing of that sort. I'm going to talk to you guys. I'm going to talk to you guys. First one's going to be what went down this weekend. Okay, so I'm recording today is Sunday, Cinco de fucking Mayo, like straight up. So Alex, thank you first of all for hitting me up. Thank you. besides that, though, what went down this weekend, which is last weekend, this whole week prior to you guys hearing this show? Do I want to talk about the move? My sister, my older sister, hitting me up. Jesus fucking Christ, last week. To help her move again. Now, this one is always interesting because I'm a very family-oriented guy. I love my family. I love my friends. I will bend over backwards for any fucking buddy. Like, that's the dude I am. Even if it means fucking killing myself. Like, it sucks. But a few months ago, a year ago, my sister asked me to help her move out of her apartment and, you know, with the kids' stuff. And the question was, can I do this? And once I showed up, it's like, dude, I fucking got this. I can move your fucking shit. And once I got there, I had to call my younger brother, Ray. And I needed his help, just like, dude, kid, there's no way in hell I can fucking do this. So that was a long time ago. My sister hit me up last week. Josias, you're the only... So Josias, I know you guys aren't used to hearing my name in Spanish. Josias, can you do me a huge favor? Can you call me? Yeah, I'm in a meeting right now. Like, I'm literally in a meeting. So call my sister up after an hour meeting and can you help me? Can you help me move? You're the only one that can help me out. Yeah, sis, what day, dude? If it's the weekend, I got you fucking covered. I'm there, dude. Like, you know I'm fucking there. So I went over to help her fucking move. And the number one thing that was on my head was like, shit, the last time I helped you move, the biggest obstacle, the way I look at it, the obstacle I had to fucking fight against besides everything that was fucking heavy as fuck, was her mattress, like her king mattress. And I'm like, I can't fucking do this. Ray, is there any way you can come out here, dude? I fucking need fucking help. Yeah, dude, you need help. Dick, I need fucking help. I love Ray. He helped me out last time. So today, or this a week ago today, I helped my sister move from where they were staying into their new apartment. And as I'm driving over from Lake Forest to Orange, the number one thing was like, fuck, that mattress is going to fucking suck. So when I get over, Jakey, my little nephew, fucking is there to greet me. All right, kiddo, where do you live? Beautiful apartment complex, like beautiful apartment they have now, 3-bedroom apartment. Like I'm happy for my sister. And as soon as I'm like, fucking 3 stories, fuck me. Sis, let's go to work. Like, let's go to work. Like, I got a lot of shit to do. And still on the back of my mind was, it's a fucking mattress. So, pick up the car, truck, to fucking move everything over. And it's literally Jacob who pulled me into the house. So, 13 years old, Natalia, 15-year-old girl, niece, and my sister that is not in the best condition to move things physically. So, the game plan with my sister is, let's pick up the fucking truck real quick, and I can Tetris everything. Like, I'm fucking good. And everyone relies on me for some fucking reason. And so I helped my sister move last Sunday a week ago. And I had to tell my sister, sis, I love you, dude. I already know what's in there. And I cannot do this by myself. I had to ask Ray for help last time because there's no way in hell I can move this king-size mattress by myself. And there's no way in hell I want you or the kids to be involved in this massacre that's going to happen. And I'm going to go into that because it's actually fucking funny in my mind. So help my sister move. I did a good deed. I did a good job. When people need someone to help them out to do something, it's great to know I'm everyone's first person to go to. It also sucks because this is my fucking day off, dude. Like, all right, sis, yes, let's do it, dude. So show up, help them move, and sis, again, you think about what you want to do with this mattress because this is insane for me to be doing by myself. There's no way in hell, sis, I can do this by myself, dude. And even with you guys, I don't want you guys to get hurt. Like, I don't. And now you're living on the 3rd floor of this complex, your guys' place. Like, I don't care about shredding this up if that's what you want. But, like, there's no way this is going to get pulled up. And my sister, throughout the day, as I'm moving, and the nephews and nieces. So JK and Natalia helped me out. Like, shit, I was the runner and gunner, which normally in my life I feel I am. Like, I can do anything. And I'm not the strongest fucking dude. I don't walk around, like, hulking out. Like, no, I know what I can fucking do. And I knew I was going to fucking die this day again. And so helped them move. And it was fine up until the point where it's like, I understand we've been in the world, my family, I personally have been in the world of moving from place to place and always constantly moving. My sister's kids are not used to this world. So it's like, I need you guys to pay attention to me, listen to me, move everything. All this light shit, I'm fucked. And this is the way I talk to my nephews and my nieces. So if I'm terrible for this, Talia, Jakey, all these are fucking light as shit. Fucking you guys can start walking them straight the fuck up. Like, I need you guys to start fucking working. And that's the way I talk to my nephews and my nieces. And then, you know, fuck apologies. Fuck apologies. This is the way I talk to them. I'm real. They respect me in a weird way, which is great because they know, all right, Uncle Josias is like a real, like, anyways, so moving everything, and granted, the heavier stuff, got heavy as shit, and moving dressers, and sofas where I need to literally ask the kids for help, like, fuck, 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 fuck. So many fucks went down last Sunday a week ago, and, I'm like, all right, kids, I really don't want to ask you, but I really need your guys' help right now. I need each of you guys to grab an end, pick up at the same time, lift from your legs, not with your back. So crouch down and lift properly. So I had to fucking give that to them. And I'm like, all you guys need to do is just lift up on that end, and I'm going to push everything up the stairs, like all the heavy weight, every part of the hardest part is going to be on me. And I'm like, kids, this is going to be heavy, dude. I'm going to have all the weight. I just need you guys to move and just hold and move and step up and step up and step up. Three flights, by the way. And I'm like, if you guys need a break, take a break. Let me know. You guys can put it down. Like, I don't want to rush you. I don't want to. It sucked. It sucked. And we took up a dresser together. And when the sofa came up, it's like, I really need you guys to work right now. I'm so sorry that this sofa is, there's no way to grip it properly. And I'm like, sorry, guys. I really need your guys' help right now. But, like, fuck. Like, I don't want to. I'm like, okay, look. I'm going to take all the heavy weight anyways. So everything's going to be on me. So the back of the stairs is, my back is facing towards the walking down the stairs. And I'm like, kids, look at it this way. If you guys get tired and drop it, you guys can finally end me, and I can finally go in peace. And saying it like that, like, my nephew and my niece know me, and they start laughing, like, Uncle, don't say that. I'm like, no, but I can finally. There goes Josiah. He was a good man. And they're like, Uncle, don't say that. But they were laughing. It's like, all right, kids, thank you for laughing. But I need you guys now, like, now that the nerves are out, let's go to fucking work. Let's handle this. These kids fucking killed it. Like, they did great. I'm proud of Jakey and Talia for doing everything they did. And for them to see me and help them out, like, this is the most beautiful compliment I've gotten in the longest time. Talia, I know I'm not her favorite. Uncle, thank you so much for coming over to help us out. No one was able to help us out. There's no way we could have got this done without you. I'm like, babe, don't worry. You know I'm always going to be here. Don't worry about it. And you're welcome. Jacob's on my side the whole time. So when we pick up the fucking truck to move, Jakey, wingman, yeah, Uncle, I'm there with you. So we start talking. We start talking football. And we start talking about life because that's what I like to do when I have the time to talk. To talk to my nephews and my nieces and my family members and friends. Like, seriously, I love talking, conversing with people. And something happened to the point where I had and this is very personal. I'm not going to go so deep on that one. I had to tell Jakey and Natalia at the end of the day, like, Uncle, thank you. Like, Uncle. And they're giving me hugs. And, you know, my sister gave me a hug, too. I'm like, kids, do me a huge favor. Give your mom a hug and let her know you appreciate and you're thankful for everything she's been able to do for you kids. I'm just here. I'm your uncle. I'm just a body. Literally, I'm just a body moving for you guys. Like, but I'm going to go to bat for you guys. But every thank you these kids gave me, I had to re-inform them to look at their mom and tell them, dude, She's the superstar. Like, you guys have a beautiful apartment now, and you guys are good now. So yeah, that was interesting. And Jake and I had an interesting conversation as well. But yeah, that's what I did last week. Do I want to talk about Kentucky Derby? Not this week. That was already a long intro to begin with. Anyways, that's what I did. Let's hit it fucking really different this week. Let's hit some what the fuck news. It always trips me out to come across articles like this, but this one is very local and very close to home in a weird way. So this one is going to be, the article is Bloody Spear Found at Grizzly Double Homicide in Southern California. So this one came out literally, this article was dropped May 2nd. So a few days ago, an investigation is underway after a gruesome scene in which two people were found dead in a storage facility. A third person was rushed to the hospital and a bloody medieval-styled spear was discovered Thursday in Santa Ana, authorities confirmed to KTLA. So our local news station, but Santa Ana, born raised in Santa Ana. I'm a Santa Ana boy, so yeah. Officers with the Santa Ana Police Department responded to a disturbance call in the 1200 block of East Chestnut Avenue at around 4:30 p.m. The privately owned storage facility where the brutal scene was unfolded is typically used for personal and business storage. A man who was working on his computer said he saw police arrive just moments before he saw a woman who said she had heard gunshots. As he approached the Unit E, he said he witnessed an officer throwing a spear out of the unit. What the fuck? The man, who did not want to be identified, said he saw an older man who was dead inside the facility and a younger woman who was not moving. KTLA's Samantha Cortez later learned that the young woman was also dead. This is the storage unit fucking owners. These are his words. Sorry about that. Just a nice little dude. He's been here a long time, just a sweetheart, the man said of the older male victim. He had a bad back, and every time I saw him, he was just nice. I talked to him for a couple of minutes. Same with his niece. I think it's his niece. I don't know. He added that the older male victim had told him once that he was an expert in medieval swords. So many questions. Another male who didn't appear to be moving was taken from the unit on a stretcher. Police said that the person was rushed to the hospital in critical condition. It is unclear at this point if that individual is a suspect in the double murders or another victim. According to the man who spoke on the condition of anonymity, he never noticed any tension or animosity between the three people involved in the grisly scene. So, Number one, what the fuck? Look, I was born and raised in Santa Ana. I've been in a lot of fucking fights, in gang fights. And look, old Josias was a reckless fucking youth. There's guns, knives in bottles, and look, shit goes down. What the fuck news? Because number one, a spear. Now, if you guys can see the fucking spear that actually was used, holy fucking shit, it looked like Kraven the Hunter was fucking trying to massacre fucking people, or it looked like Jesus, that's pretty much it. Kraven the Hunter, look him up. It sounds so bad, but very again, what the fuck news? Like, we've gotten in fights, house party fights before, and it was very, very weird. And look, we used to scrap a long time ago. Number one, what the fuck? Because, okay. And I had a second fucking news article, what the fuck news article, about a shooting. And I feel that our world has been desensitized to shootings and mass shootings, where it's like, now it sucks. Because it's an everyday fucking occurrence. And no one is willing to fucking do anything about the gun violence that is rampant around the world. And if you guys are upset about me, if you guys have fucking guns, that's fucking cool, homie. I'm fucking motherfucker. I have fucking spears. I know that sounds bad. In Santa Ana, though, like, homeboy, old dude was a medieval swordsman. And in Santa Ana, like, who the fuck and how the fuck? Anyways, what the fuck news? So, question of the week. Actually, before I hit question of the week, let's close you out. And let's do this real quick. Shoutouts. The only shoutouts I have, I mean, everyone that listens, number one, you guys are always on board. I love you guys. Please find my boys, the Comics and Thor DS podcast, Adam Garza, Hector Cornejo, and Ben Davis. They're friends of the show. Adam's going to come on for episode 350. I don't know what I have fucking planned, but it's going to be fucking fun. And the more deeper I go into work, this work, creating this content, I'm going to have fucking fun. And I want homeboy to have fucking fun. I want Adam to have fucking fun. I want him to walk back in and be like, fuck, it's like old times again. Like, and I miss my boy. Like, I do. I'm happy. He's happy doing his Comics and Thor DS podcast with two great co-hosts that are great. And they carry each other. Like, that is fantastic. And if someone can carry the burden of of the work, I don't have that luxury. I haven't had that luxury in the longest fucking time. And I'm completely cool with it. But please find him, the Comics and Thor DS podcast. This one now, question of the week. This one's going to be weird. How many people have you guys killed with a fucking spear before? Okay, bad joke. I that was a callback from like 2 minutes ago. This is going to be a weird question of the week. Now we're getting serious with question of the week. I asked this question a long time ago. I asked this question during the peak of COVID. Everyone was, and I'm bringing up the COVID word. It's a subject that not a lot of people can fucking deal with or comprehend or understand. We each lived in a different way, in a different world, and yet we were all part of the same world. So I asked this question a long time ago, and it wasn't a thing back then to ask the question of the week. And I don't have a question of the week, so I'm like, you know what, fuck it. Because of some movies I've been watching lately. So I saw The Host, literally have it on pause right now, and I just saw The Last Train, or Train to Busan, which are zombie movies. Well, the Train to Busan is a proper zombie movie. The Host is a Godzilla mutant creature trying to fucking kill you. And both of these movies are completely very, very reminiscent to me of Parasite. And I love Look, I'm a film guy. I'm a movie fucking guy. So I just saw Train to Busan, and it broke my heart again. I know it's a great movie. I've seen it like 2 times prior. This is my 3rd time watching it, just on the whim, like, I want to watch fucking Train to Busan. And it's fucked up. And it's a zombie movie, but zombies are on steroids. Again, I know this question, this is the lead up to the question. I know this question is odd and weird. And these movies have not an odd twist, but an odd quarantine vibe to them. As far as, we can't let you guys go so far on the train, so you're gonna get quarantined, we're gonna fucking pull you guys out, we're gonna quarantine you guys. The host, same thing, if you've been infected, if you have spoken, have been in contact with any of these things, you're gonna get quarantined. These movies are older. So way before fucking COVID even happened, and quarantine is the theme of the movies that I keep going to for some fucking reason, not because I want to fucking dive into quarantine, but my question of the week is this, during this time that a lot of people don't want to look at, it's something that should be in everyone's rearview mirror. As far as the quarantine and the COVID, and yeah, we shouldn't talk about that. And people needed a podcast to listen to. Hopefully you guys are still around, and so hopefully I'm able to share thoughts, insights, mentality that I had then and that I had now, or that I have now. And the question of the week is this. During quarantine, though, during COVID, those 3 years, for me it was 3 years, what skill or activity or hobby did you take up during this time? And it's just a simple fucking question. And I know it's like, why the fuck are you the only person still talking about this shit, Josias? Because we all lived it and we all went through it. And like I mentioned a few weeks ago, I like to confront everything. The past that happened, past in my life, the skeletons in my closet, I like kicking that door open. The things that are quote-unquote unspoken, I'm the only person that's willing to kick that fucking door down and like, let's fucking talk about it. Because I don't think we did a lot of talking back then. I was there for my family for sure. But yeah, what the fuck? Anything cool you guys learned during this process? And again, the demographic for the show, what, Alex, you're 22? Your sister's 19, 20? I don't think she listens to the show anyways. The demographic is what Lynn told me. She's what, 49, 50 something? So technically, our demographic is the wheelhouse for fucking everyone. Like, for everyone, minus the fact that I'm explicit for a reason. I'm rated R, rated X, like I am not kid friendly. I am not work friendly at all. So if you guys wanted to play me on your speaker at work, yeah, you guys are going to get fired because of my fucking ass, because I say the gnarliest fucking things that come to my head and I don't bullshit you guys around. I'm not going to jerk you guys around. The way I say it is the way I've seen and experienced things. And like I said, the way I'm with my nephew and my niece, can you guys fucking start fucking moving? Like, I don't want to be here all fucking day. Like, I'm trying to Tetris everything and looking at everything. And they look at me like, what the fuck's he doing? I'm like, all right, I need you guys to grab all the small stuff, bring them over here. I'm going to fit everything in. And that's the way I fucking work. And then once they realize, like, oh, fuck, homeboy's, like, working. Like, they've never... if you guys can see me work. Focused. But I will tell you my stories about hobbies and things I learned at the end of the show. I hope you guys enjoy it. So far, this is going to be a long fucking show. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate. I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, welcome back to some comic talk. Let's hit it like we do. All right, here. Sorry about that one, guys. Okay, first of all, the bumper at the beginning of the show, I normally like to be creative and bump everything, pull everything, and work. I'm creative. This one is really cool to me. I'm a big fan of the Cobra Kai series. I grew up with... I was going to say The Last Starfighter, but also The Last Starfighter was a fan. Karate Kid, though. Daniel LaRusso and fucking Johnny Lawrence and fucking the All Valley Tournament. That's my wheelhouse. That's what I grew up with. Your parents, fucking, I don't know the demographic again. Your guys' parents probably saw this movie and, hopefully they instilled in you like this show in you guys. I got to meet and interview. Look, I'm going to talk about that in a few weeks because it's going to come around the whole corner where I get to play everything and have fun with this again. This one, the first trailer for season 6 of Cobra Kai gets released and it's going to be dropped in 3 parts, which is interesting. Like, I get these press releases like, we're going to drop this batch of episodes this month, and we're going to drop this batch. Like, this is the first time I think a show has really gone that far to just drop batches. Like, this is, even though it's the last season, we're going to drop them in batches. So 4, 4, and 4, I believe there's 16 episodes, but it's something that intrigues me, that I like, and that I have fucking fun with. Those kids, again, beginning of the show, you guys heard the bumpers, you guys get to hear, how I got to interact with these fucking kids, which was cool. And I got to interview fucking everyone. We'll go into that in a few months, dude, because actually in a few weeks. Comics news and reviews. I want to hit it as quick as I can. I'm gonna apologize. Marvel Comics Invincible Iron Man number 5. Gary Duggan is the writer. Chris Lee is the artist. Walden Wong is the inker. Brian Valenza is the colorist. So Faye Long has been working with Orcus. And I know you guys don't know who Faye Long or Orcus is, but they get together to create this. Actually, essentially, to create mutant hunting sentinels using Iron Man Tony Stark tech. Iron Man has just lured this group, Fei Long, and his sentinel crew to Australia, where Tony Stark busts out his sentinel buster armor. And this whole story, though, that's just the background on what's been going on. This one starts off with Rhodey in prison. And for what? I don't know. I haven't been reading Iron Man, honestly. And as Rhodey, his best friend, is in his cell, gets ambushed and is about to get taken out, until Rhodey finally uses some Pym particles to bust out the old school War Machine armor, which is fucking cool. So he can break out of prison. Not knowing, like, fuck, I don't want to die here, but, like, fuck, shit's hitting the fan. Anyways, we now see Fei Long, Tony, and Magneto having to work together now to take out all of the current Sentinels that are attacking, and they come to terms. Fei Long helped Orcus, the bad guys, create the Sentinels to begin with. And Magneto and Tony Stark are like, fuck, I don't want to fucking rely on you, Magneto. He's like, no, fuck it. They're persecuting, they're fucking killing again. Like, we have to fucking destroy every fucking place that's creating and deploying these fucking Sentinels. We have to go to every factory that's creating this tech. And Tony's like, fuck, All right, let's go to fucking work. Tony got his ass kicked. So even Magneto asked him, like, dude, are you fucking okay? Like, you look fucked up. No, fucking, I'm fine. Let's go to work. That sounds familiar to me. Always sounds familiar to me. So now they have to destroy all the factories. So these three guys, even Fei Long, that was on board with Orcus to take out and wipe out the mutants, was interesting to see him jump on board like, fuck, I fucked up. Like, the Sentinels and the program Orcus is way bigger than I thought it was. I thought we were just protecting humans. And Magneto gets pissed like, motherfucker, do you understand what I went through in my life? It's funny to me. Like it's always, I love Magneto. My dog's name is Magneto. Come on, dude. That's how much I fucking love Magneto. And when you guys see me post Magneto was right, like, I love the anti-hero. Anyways, it's these three characters working together now to take out just Sentinel factories that are killing the X-Men, which jumps into the next series I'm going to jump into right now. Marvel Comics X-Men number 33. Gary Duggan's the writer on this one as well. Joshua Cassero is the artist. Romulo Fajardo Jr. is the colorist. VC's Clayton Cowles is the letterist. Tom Mueller and Jay Bowen are the designers on this one. This one is the Shaws. So Sebastian Shaw sending his son Shinobi Shaw. And I know these names don't make sense to you. But the best way to put it is Krakoa was a mutant nation, like, okay, sovereign nation, we're not going to hurt you guys. Like, we know you guys hate us. So we're going to create this island so you guys don't have to deal with this. It's literally bending over backwards for everybody fucking else but your fucking self, because you're different and I don't like different. Yeah. This is why I love X-Men. The story continues, though, and these bad guys, or I don't want to say rehabilitated, bad guys always have bad intents, and Sebastian Shaw, the main guy, he's like, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to play both sides. I'm going to play the X-Men versus Orcus. Like, I'm going to be the middle guy, so whichever side wins, I'm going to fucking dime the other side out. Like, I got all this information, and here you go. Like, that's essentially what the story is. You guys don't need to know these characters. They're old school characters that I grew up with. So that's the story. So now, when one of his missions is to take out the Morlocks, which are banished mutants, and kill Callisto. And again, underground mutants in Madripoor. You guys are going to learn about Madripoor now soon when Deadpool and Wolverine comes out. So anyways, Wolverine now goes to work in this one, and we see Emma Frost do her own work as well. So Wolverine is ready to fucking kill. But all the mutants are ready to fucking kill because you guys have been fucking us around for so fucking long. Like, how do you expect us to not say anything? How do you expect us to do nothing when you just massacred and persecuted all my fucking friends and fucking family? Like, you just butchered every fucking buddy. So Wolverine, all the X-Men really are going to work now, as far as, oh, fuck you. Like, I'm willing to take lives now because you guys wiped out so many of my fucking people. Is interesting and violent, and the X-Men have had their backs towards the wall for a long time now, and they're ready to fight back. Little mutant teams all across the globe are like getting together. Like, Emma Frost is the one telepathically talking to everyone, like, we have to strike soon. Like, this team is there, that team is fucking there. I need you guys to work together. And that's the fucking story. It's very cool. This story, it is very cool. And I really much enjoyed this because of the teamwork factor, the whole fuck you factor. I love. Until they finally go after one of one of the main culprits of the Orcus crew. And they try to combat him, and they find him, but yet he's AI as well. So Sentinels, giant robots. Nimrod, giant robot, artificial intelligence. I must destroy and kill mutants. Like, that's his programming. And then we still have humans that, like, I just don't like fucking mutants because they're different, or they're gay, or they wear those colors. So, a bunch of fucking Karens. Literally, fuck me, dude. I fucking hate saying that, but fuck you. A lot of fucking people that can't accept something that's different. This is why I love the X-Men, because they are fucking different, and they look like freaks, and they look different, and they are different because they are fucking different. And I've mentioned this before in the past, and the X-Men were created to combat racism and hatred and bigotry in the world, which I still feel in our world today is a big part of all the bullshit that's going on in the world today. Now, that's my personal thoughts and opinions. And if you guys want to blast me anywhere, please, please fucking do it. If my nephew and my nieces couldn't fucking destroy him with a fucking sofa, like, this is the way justice is going to go. Anyway, so it's really cool to see the team work together. They try to go after this next gen of tech, mech, AI, and he pulls one over on them. He built a weapon, I guess, to send them to the negative zone, which is we're gonna talk about that in a few months, to some banish them for the most part. And the X-Men are like, fuck, we're fucked. And Jean Grey is not there. Sink is there, and he's able to keep them together. Like, fuck, dude, like, we're gonna die. And Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, says, like, can you tap me in while you're still keeping us here? Can you tap me into someone I need to ask for help? And very cool to see this 15, 16-year-old girl, the first person she thinks of is, we really need your fucking help right now. I'm sorry. Please send help. Like, we're gonna be gone right now. He's like, I told you motherfuckers, don't do that shit. You guys are weighing way over your fucking heads. Why? We're going to die. And he's like, all right, fuck it. All right. X-Men of Doom, go help them out. So Adam and I, Comics 3DS podcast host, we literally broke this one down, and it's finally sending Dr. Doom's team of mutants that were on Latveria, go help them out. Like, they need fucking help. They're getting their asses kicked. So very cool just to see that. Very cool. This one goes into now number 34 of X-Men, still the same team. Goes into the background of Charles Xavier and his dream, and the death of Charles's dream, and what he's now sacrificing, quote unquote, to save as many mutants as he can. But really, though, the whole story is, I guess, I'm not going to spoil anything. We get a fuller scope now of the Orcus attacks on mutants. It's not just on Earth, but everywhere now, in space. Everywhere. The Orcus wants to wipe out every mutant completely, which genocide, like, again, is what it is. And we see the X-Men of the world, the mutants of the world, just fighting on different fronts now, trying to combat Orcus. And Orcus is now just prioritizing, was initially, take out mutants, but now they're just like, you know what, fuck it, if humans are in the way, fuck it, or AI, let's fucking just fucking kill everyone. And then that's what's fucked up. Like, it's fucked up. We now see Shadowcat, and I have her her mini bust. That sounds terrible. Her mini bust. I have mini bust of statues. So mini bust are statues. I have a bunch of them. At Shadowcat, we see her save an old mutant that we haven't seen. I haven't seen in a few years. She rescues Caliban that Orcus has been using to find mutants. And so this now small crew of X-Men go after MODOK, and MODOK is a huge fucking part of the story, to take him down. It's really a really, really cool fucking scrap fight scene. Firestar finally really gets to fucking go to work, and we see the X-Men go to fucking work. Like, that's the best way I can put it without ruining anything for you guys. But I do always like to do this, and I know Adam does this every now and I wonder where he got it from, but I love when he does it. So Shadowcat is ready to fucking kill. She's the one who saves Caliban. Caliban, you're not doing much to dissuade me from the notion that you aided and abetted the enemy. Caliban, why? Because I won't gleefully help you kill a fellow mutant. Don't make me say it again. I can't help you find Xavier, knowing what you'll do to him when you find him. I'm not sorry, Kitty. Killing anyone, even a traitor, is wrong. And Shadowcat answers back, pissed, coward. I should have left you locked away in that lab to rot. As she looks, and the way her expression, her facial is drawn, is just beautiful, because she knows she fucked up. And we get like a sob from her. And she's like, oh God, like, I fucked up. And then we hear, it's okay, Caliban. You can go. I'm here. She won't be alone. As we see, the person that's saying this is Wolverine. He arrives in the panels. Shadowcat says, glad you got to see that, Logan. Wolverine says, I seen worse. Shadowcat, I keep hoping maybe Charles didn't do this. Maybe somebody infected Cerebro. Maybe Moore put a whammy on him. But it's just Charles. And I think hearing he broke kind of broke me. Wolverine says, dreams die, kiddo. Sometimes when they do, they take the dreamer with them. Most days, I'm grateful I don't have the full memories of the lives I lived. Mora's gift was a curse. And yeah, the weight of all those years broke her and Chuck. Shadowcat, he's done terrible things, Logan. And so have I. Wolverine says, you did what you were trained to do by the X-Men, then by Logan. And when the chips were down, you let the training take over. You're too young to regret surviving. That's what your next few decades are for. Shadowcat, I thought I could just mask up, become Shadowcat, and do what needs to be done without thinking. But I can't. If we win, and I'm still standing, then I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And this means no more X-Men. And Wolverine just tells her, whatever you need, stand down. I got the only help that Charles needs right here. Xavier has to die, or none of us will be safe. Very cool. Yeah, I'm an X-Men fan. I grew up on these fucking characters. So I know Adam. Look, it's been convoluted, Adam, if you don't know characters. But this is not the best X-Men jumping on point. But I love it anyways, and I thought I would share it. It means something to me. So, question of the week now. I have to fucking come back if I can fucking find it. Was, okay, a skill you guys learned during COVID. Let me see how much time I have. We're at, okay, I'm at 48 right now. Okay, let's hit it. Goodbye, peace out. Catch you guys next week. Silence, 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 silence for like 35 seconds. Let's hit it. Yes, I know what I did there, guys. Skills, anything you learned during COVID, because of the movies I've been watching, and there's not a theme that I look out for movies that have a quarantine theme to them. It's just the movies that I've been choosing to watch, horror movies or any sort of film there is an underlying quarantine theme behind it. I didn't have a question of the week, and when I did ask this, essentially, during COVID, I got a few weird responses, but hopefully I get better responses now that we're fucking attacking life back. What's a hobby, what's a field, what's a topic, what's a subject, what's anything you learned during COVID that you were not expecting to? When I was a kid, I was a bike rider, and during COVID, I was working a lot, guys. It's funny to me because I'm still working a lot. So my office job, I was literally working from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. every fucking day, Monday through Friday. That's not a fucking joke. And working Saturdays as well, 8 to fucking 1. Yes. A lot of people can't fucking hack it and do it. So anytime I did have downtime, number one, I can cook, and I love fucking cooking. I love cooking for fucking people. But I needed to get away from everything and things and people as well. I mean, granted, everything was online and fucking doing everything, Teams meetings and things like that. My go-to was I started to learn how to, and I knew how to change bike tires, but learning descriptively how to fix a bike, mountain bike, gears, shifters, brake pads, everything, and actually go out to mountain bike ride was cool as shit. I mean, I collected a lot of fucking hats, way more fucking hats, a lot of t-shirts, beanies. I stopped collecting, honestly. I'm a beanie guy. I'm a hat dude. Comics, I was still collecting. But the go-to for me, the therapeutic thing for me was like, I know we're not supposed to get out right now in the world. And I was working so much in front of my computer, again, 7 a.m., and it's not a fucking joke, 7 a.m. to 11 fucking p.m. No joke, Monday through fucking Friday. Every day was fucking miserable. So the way I was killing myself working from home, when a lot of people got fired. A lot of people they lost their jobs. I was in the predicament where the office said, grab all your shit and go home. You guys can work from fucking home until we can figure this out. A blessing in disguise, which is still a disguise, and the blessing is bullshit. And disguise, look, any way anyone wants to look at it, I get it. And people can, this is just fucking funny for me to say this anyways. Anyone can look at what I do. Yes, I go to the office every so often. Proper office. My office is where I'm recording right now. This is my fucking office. My home is my fucking office. Now, if anyone wants to look at and take away like, oh, he doesn't work, fuck you. You don't know what I deal with at work, the office, dealing with everything I have to do. And then to go to work and be more physical working at the restaurant, which is fine. So back then, I was working fucking that much, and I needed something. And at the time when they said quarantine, we don't want you guys out, we were always masked up. Like, all right, dad, mom, my dad was still around at the time, dad, do you need anything? I need this. Do you need some food? Do you need, like, water? Like, what do you need? So my ass was out in the world because I was literally shackled to my fucking office desk. So every time I did that for my family and friends and people I care about, I mean, seriously, making the rounds. Downtime after that, it's like, all right, let's work on this fucking bike. Let's buy a fucking mountain bike and let's go mountain bike riding. And that's what I fucking did. and I started to learn how to mountain bike ride and bunny hop and fucking hop and fucking feel the fucking rush of, fuck this. Like, mentally, I'm fucking destroyed already. And granted, always wore a fucking helmet. Don't get me wrong. Because I did gnarly shit. Like, riding down caverns. Riding down fucking gnarly fucking hills and jumps and fucking everything that can fuck up your fucking world. I looked at it like, don't be scared. Like, you're already fucking destroyed, Josias. Like, mentally. The physical's not gonna fucking hurt right now. And granted, the physical still did hurt. And I learned how to do all these things and run tracks and race. Not race tracks, I never raced anybody. But just the exhilaration, the complete let go of Josias. Have fucking fun. The world says you're supposed to be locked up. You're supposed to be masked up. You're locked up 7 to 11 p.m. every goddamn fucking day, Monday through fucking Friday, and working Saturdays. Go out and feel some fucking life. So when everyone was in lockdown, took my fucking mask off, like, fuck it. I'm not around fucking people. I'm going to fucking ride this fucking mountain. I'm going to fucking kill this fucking mountain. Or this mountain's going to kill me. Was my most favorite thing I did during COVID. That's the thing I learned. I learned how to work on bikes. Again, gears proper, shift gears, brakes, every aspect of a bicycle. Is what I learned. And I know people started baking and started, that's when people started fucking exercising the most. Get the fuck out of here. Whatever it is, I'm not going to talk shit. If people got into fucking reading more books or writing more, we all went through it. And I just was getting banged up on the, I don't want to say psychological, it was the mental, which is still different than psychological. The mental just burn. Where my body said, hey, dude, like, this is not you. We know you work, but, like, go out there and fuck the mask and go fucking ride. Like, go fucking ride. Was exhilarating, and it made me feel, fuck, man. It made me feel fucking good. And just like doing the podcast, even though I was doing it frequently back then, is still the most beautiful friend I can have, being solo or with people doing something that, all right, motherfucker, this is gonna hurt. Like, if you eat shit, you're gonna fucking eat shit. Like, this is not just, like, getting hurt, like, this is like a broken fucking something. And every day I was fucking happy to do it. And it made me feel good, like, the fear didn't get to me at all. It was just enjoying the ride. So that's what COVID gave to me. Enjoy the ride. I love you guys. I'll catch you guys next week. Peace out. I fumbled to form these cards. I've never given up everything I know for more. Content to feel slightly forlorn. Intent on repairing a heart that's been torn out and worn. I hate the way that I feel when I feel this way. I hate the things that I do when I do these things. I hate the things that I say almost every day.
I just have to say, I hate the way that I feel when I feel this way. I hate the things that I do when I do these things. I hate the things that I say almost every day. Content to feel slightly forlorn. Intent on repairing a heart that's been torn out and worn.